Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm Lisa Scheffler, and today we are continuing our Neighbors and Nations series and interviewing another one of our amazing and passionate community partners. Today I'm talking to Angela Poon, who is the founder of Community Garden Kitchen, which is a program for the hungry here in Collin County. They have a beautiful restaurant-style facility where they feed people almost every night of the week. You will so love hearing Angela's heart for their community. Welcome back, everybody, to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I am here with another special guest. This is Angela Poon, who is the founder and president of Community Garden Kitchen here in McKinney. Now, as you guys know, we are doing a special focus during our Missions Focus Month on some of our community partners. And Community Garden Kitchen is a wonderful place to give to and to serve at. So I'm excited to have Angela here to talk a little bit about opportunities that people could have to get involved. So Angela, tell me a little bit about the story of Community Garden Kitchen. Tell me, first of all, what it is, and then tell me a little bit about how it came to be.
Okay. Thank you so much, Lisa, for having me on today. I'm really excited to tell the story about Community Garden Kitchen. We are a free meal restaurant. We're the only one in the county. And how this got started was at a Bible study at my kitchen table. A group of ladies had been meeting for about 5 or 6 years. And that particular Saturday, we started talking about hunger in the community. And we're, at that point, not really aware of how critical the situation was. Mm-hmm. We knew Dallas had issues, but we're in Collin County.
Not in McKinney.
Not in Collin County. So we did a little research as we were talking about this. And we had two Title I principals, elementary school principals at the table that said, well, there really is a hunger issue here in our community. And we were like, well, what are we talking about? How many children are struggling with not enough food? And they said, well, in McKinney Independent School District, and this was 10 years ago, it was 8,000, over 8,000 children.
That is
shocking. And we were
just
shocked. And so then we started doing the research. And when we discovered that there were over 130,000 people in our county that struggle with food insecurity at least once a year, if it's not a way of life for them, we were just really appalled by these numbers. And we thought, well, there's got to be a place in the county that offers people meals. Mm-hmm. And if they're in a crisis situation. And we researched it and found out if there wasn't. All the places around, all the counties around us did have facilities where people could go and get a meal. And so we just decided, let's raise the money and build one. And so it took a little time because one of the things, we did not want to be in debt.
Yeah.
So we are a debt-free organization. We built a brand new 4,800 square foot building. And we also have a quarter acre garden behind us where we grow fruit, vegetables, and flowers. And flowers are very important for us to have on our tables at night.
Yes.
Because this is all about dining with dignity. I said we are a free meal restaurant. We're not a soup kitchen.
Right.
We, if you walked in, you think you're in any restaurant in McKinney. Mm-hmm. We have individual tables. We have hostesses and hosts, and we have servers. We do have a limited menu, but we do offer people some sides. And even if you put cheese on vegetables, some people don't want to eat that. So, but they get to make that decision.
Yeah.
So, one of the first thing our servers do when our guests are seated, ask them, would you like some bread and butter and some wine? And because for many of our guests, this is their first meal of the day.
Yeah.
We're open in the evening. And we had a reason for that. This was to reach the working poor.
Yeah.
Because many of them cannot get to food pantries, for example, because of their hours conflict.
Yeah.
And so by being open in the evening, we're sure that kids that are getting out of school have something to eat before they go to bed. Mm-hmm. And as well as adults, working adults that need to have nutrition so they can do their job.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about the kind of people that come to the kitchen, because we had Samaritan and Dana from Samaritan Inn here last week. And she talked about how a lot of us have a misconception about who it is that ends up homeless. So I would imagine we probably have a misconception about who it is that is hungry and doesn't have enough food.
Right. We even have baby food there because we're seeing infants to people that are 90 years old. Mm-hmm. We see veterans. We see homeless people. We see families. We see single parent families. A lot of senior citizens, with handicaps that find it difficult to prepare food or are not confident enough. And a lot of senior citizens are living alone, and so they really want community. So
yeah, I love it that it's community garden kitchen.
It is.
It's all, you got all three words there.
Yeah. We, you know, when we first opened, I had one lady that would come in, and she was in her 80s. She'd been a nurse her whole life in Plano, but she was alone. Had no family to support her in any way, and she was on a walker, but she was not only hungry for food, but she was hungry for community. And so we laugh because she's got her table and nobody else can sit at that table.
Does she invite other people to sit at her table?
That started happening, and now okay. There's four of them that sit at the table.
Oh,
and we have to say, okay, ladies, we're getting ready to close, and they're like, oh, just one more cup of coffee. We're still talking. So we're kind of your friendly little neighborhood cafe now.
Oh, I love that. And so anybody's invited?
Anyone who wants a meal, anyone in the city, the county who wants a meal, I don't care if they're from Dallas, I'll feed them there too.
Right.
We don't ask where you're from. Mm-hmm. We don't require you to fill out any paperwork. You don't have to show any ID. It's like walking into any restaurant. You're going to be greeted, courteously greeted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how many's in your party? You'll be escorted to your individual table. Your server will come up to you, and then you'll be served on real plates, real silverware. And a delicious meal. We have a phenomenal chef, and our meals are healthy, but they taste really good too.
That's awesome. And so is it completely free?
It's completely free. We don't accept any kind of money for meals.
Wow, that is so wonderful, Angela. I can't imagine what a blessing you are to the people that need that.
Well, it's our volunteers. They are the heart and soul. We run about 180 volunteers a week. That's what it takes to do our operation. And they bring such kindness and compassion into the building. You would think when the doors open, it would be sad. But for some reason, the place just fills up with joy.
So tell me a little bit about the garden part. How does that work?
Okay, the garden part was really fun. When we were looking for land in McKinney in order to build this building, we discovered that there was a piece of property on the east side of Highway 5 that was owned by the Episcopal Diocese of Dallas. And so there was a little preschool at one end of the property, but 2/3 of the property, and it was about 2 acres, was completely empty. So we drove down to Dallas and said, hey, we want to build a kitchen to feed people. And I mean, you go into a church, they're not really going to tell you no when you want to do something like that, because it was kind of an easy sell. But I think they thought it'll never happen. But anyway, where we were located, our building, in between our building and the preschool, was a quarter acre of land that was a very healthy patch of weeds. So it's like, why don't we just turn this into a teaching and production garden? Mm-hmm. And so Globe Life, who'd noticed what we were trying to do and wanted to be a part of it, said that they wanted to sponsor the garden for 10 years. We got a beautiful plan drawn up for our garden, and it's been in operation now we had some amazing donations from, one was particular, was Daystar Landscape that came in and did a whole lot of work for us for just out of the goodness of their heart. And so we have this beautiful garden that's filled with flowers and vegetables, and it's all volunteer run. Last year, in spite of the drought, we pulled off close to 1,200 pounds of food. It comes straight in the garden, right into the kitchen, and
that's
right
so
onto
great,
the table.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are learning about gardening there, and we have several master gardeners that you know, manage the whole thing. So we're growing green beans and okra and onions and everything you could imagine.
So yeah, that's probably a great place to serve for some people that that's they love that kind of
stuff.
Oh,
absolutely.
They're people of the earth.
Yes.
Love to
yes.
get in there and dig
I
in the
call
dirt.
It dirt therapy.
Yes. So that's a wonderful place that they could serve mm-hmm. too.
It's a beautiful garden. We also wanted to bring something beautiful into
yes.
the neighborhood. And the neighborhood is welcome to come in. And in fact, last year I walked out one day and I went, "What happened to all the flowers?" And somebody said, "Oh, the neighborhood kids are picking them all and taking them home to mom." And I went, "Perfect. I love
that's
it."
That's what you want them to do. Mm-hmm. That's great. So tell me a little bit, what are some of the challenges that you guys, I'm sure you have overcome many obstacles over the years.
Building during COVID was a big obstacle.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine. Yeah. You said it took, what, 15
well,
months
it,
longer?
It, yeah. It took 15 months longer than it should have, but we're open now and it's operational.
Yeah. But what kind of challenges do you see, particularly in Collin County? Is it different, do you think, in Collin than other counties?
I'm sure we have our own unique things. I haven't really looked at other counties
sure,
and what they're dealing
yeah.
with. I'm trying to keep my head down and do what we're
do
doing.
Do your work, yes.
But some of the challenges that we have are that there is a lack of knowledge about food insecurity in our community, and we're trying to inform people all the time about the need and what food insecurity does to people. It's just not it's a body, mind, and soul
yeah.
thing that happens when people are fearful that they don't have enough food for, I mean, if you can imagine being a fourth grader trying to learn fractions.
Right.
And all you're thinking about is there's no food at home and we don't have anything for tomorrow. So, and that affects people of all ages. And one of the challenges, of course, is transportation.
Okay.
Because a lot of people who need our services can't make it to where we are. We have people coming in on foot, on bicycles, people that are living in their cars, but it's very difficult. But for sometimes people that are living in a remote part of the county or even in the city to get to where we're located.
Mm-hmm. And so any plans to meet that challenge?
I'm hoping someone's going to step up and go, "I'm going to take on, you know, transportation."
Yeah, you're like free shuttle service.
Yeah, yeah. We really need to have some way for people to get to us.
To get to you, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, but I think what you said about the type of person that comes, I think sometimes we can look down on people that end up in situations like this.
Absolutely. The other day, a volunteer came up to me and said, "Hey, Angela, this lady really wants to talk to you." So I went over there. She jumped out of her chair, threw her arms around me, started crying and said, "Thank you so much for these meals." She said, and she was in her late 70s. And she said, "We're trying to live on Social Security, and which you can't do."
Right.
And she said she had a neighbor and he had a vehicle where they could drive there and get something to eat. And I think it was probably their only meal of the day.
Wow.
Because they were really, really struggling. But a good example of, I had one young lady when we first opened that started dining with us, probably in her early 30s maybe. Mm-hmm. And I got to know her and heard her story. She said, you know, it all happened in a week. She had had a job, a place to live, and a vehicle. And she said, one day I went in and I got a note in my mailbox that my rent was going up $300 a month.
Wow.
And she said, I didn't have an extra $300. She was living paycheck to paycheck like 65% of the population
right.
is. And she said, and then that was on a Friday. She said, on a Monday I went to work and they said, we're closing our business. And she said, the only thing I had left was a car. And so she started using it like an Uber and taking people from her church to doctor's appointments or to the grocery store or wherever. And so she ate with us for quite a while. And then all of a sudden she was gone. And I was so curious to find out what had happened to her because she was trying to get a job. But when you don't have an address anymore,
right.
it makes it really difficult. Or, you know, if you've got to go buy a P.O. box.
Yeah.
Anyway, one day I was delivering sack lunches to street side showers, and I heard somebody calling my name, and I turned around, and it was her. And I was like, "Oh, I'm so happy to see you." I thought she was there still homeless taking a shower. And I was like, "Well, how are you?" And she said, "Oh, things are much better. I've got a job." She said, "I'm here volunteering."
Oh, that's so great.
And I was like, "This is, you know," she said,
yes.
but she said, "You have no idea what those meals
Yes.
How much that helped me.
Yes.
And the fact that everybody was so nice and kind to her.
Yeah, I love the, you know, the dignity that you afford people who come to you. It's like, hey, we there by the grace of God go all of us, right?
Right,
that old
exactly.
saying.
Yeah.
That we all could end up in situations like that for just that reason, like 1 week, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have some kind of catastrophic illness, you can't work, mm-hmm. then the bills pile up.
Exactly.
Or, you know, you have a child that has an illness or an accident. I mean, there's just so many things, big layoffs, you know, and then in this economy, people's dollars just aren't going as far.
Right.
And so I think having a place that you know you can get a good, nourishing, healthy meal when you need it mm-hmm. is just a huge relief. Like you said, it lifts that psychological burden of, oh my goodness, right. where am I going to get my next meal?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of families with children now. It's building up as the economic situation seems to be stressing more people. We're seeing more and more families. Yeah. You know, we're open Monday through Thursday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So it's a short window. And the other night we served over 250 people in 2 hours. It was a hopping place, let me tell you. But we also have a sack lunch program.
Okay.
And so that's a great volunteer opportunity for people. We have volunteers come in and make 50, sometimes 100 sack lunches. And then we deliver them to our day laborers that mm-hmm. are out on Highway 5. Sometimes we take them over to street side showers. Sometimes we take them to the pantry where people are waiting to get food. And it just gives them something that they can have immediately.
Yeah.
So we distribute that usually 5-6 days a week.
That's great. That's great. Okay, so tell me a little bit about your volunteers. You said, what age can someone volunteer?
Well, 12 years old can volunteer
with mom or dad,
and that's in the dining hall.
Okay.
If you're 18 and above, you can volunteer to be in the kitchen, but you have to get your food handler's certificate, which is real easy to get. It's an online thing. You can volunteer in the garden if you're 18 and older. But we have teenagers that work the dining room floor. They serve as runners. Sometimes they're servers if they've been there long enough. But the server will take the order, the kitchen will plate it up, and then one of our runners will deliver it to the table, to our guest.
And you said the teenagers, you're seeing it a really positive thing from having them there.
I am. I love those teenagers that come in there. And they're a little nervous at first, but then they get into the swing of things because it's such a busy atmosphere when we're serving people. But I think it's great for them to realize these people are not that different from us.
Right.
They're not different at all. They've just stumbled on a difficult time.
Right.
And I think being able to serve a person that really needs a meal is something that is buried in their hearts for the rest of their life.
Yes. Yeah. Like you said,
plant that volunteer seed, I hope, forever.
Yes. Yes. It reminds us, especially in Collin County, which can be an affluent part of the mm-hmm. the world, how blessed we are. But also, you don't want your kids to grow up with that entitlement mentality.
Right.
Like I deserve all this, mm-hmm. you know, that you want them to recognize that, you know, God has blessed you. And it's now your responsibility as someone God has blessed to then bless other people.
Right.
That's how God's economy works. It's not to hoard it all for yourself.
Exactly. No, it's been eye-opening for a lot of our volunteers. I mean, for example, I had a teacher working. She was plating food, but you can see the whole dining room. And she told me later, she said, I was so shocked to see some of my students. Yeah. I had no idea. So I think that's one of, you know, we talked about one of the challenges is people not realizing how severe the problem is.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think I even have really thought about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're free and reduced lunch. But students in schools, but you don't necessarily think about what do they do for dinner? You know, maybe the school helps them for lunch, or what do they do in the summer? You know?
You've got at least 1 in 4 students that is food insecure. That's a tremendous number of children that are not getting the nutrition that they need just to thrive.
Yes. And man, No child should be hungry in Collin County, Texas.
Not one.
There is plenty to go around.
Yes. And we also have a program, and this was a true story of Fish and Loaves. And when we first opened, it was like, oh my goodness, how are we going to get enough food? How, you know, is this going to work?
Yeah.
We really didn't know if it was going to work. And we're in partnerships with the North Texas Food Bank. And so this aligns us with four grocery stores. And so we get food every day. We have a group from St. Gabriel's Catholic Church here in McKinney. Mm-hmm. They go pick up all of our food and bring it to the kitchen. Well, a lot of the food that was coming in were items we couldn't use, like one small serving of mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And we're serving 200 people. It's not going to, you know. So we set up partnerships with area food pantries. And so since we started that program, we've shipped out 72 tons of food to these pantries who were running out of food.
Wow. That's, yeah. So that's great too. I love I think McKinney seems to do this well, at least from the different partners I've talked to so far. You guys seem to all coordinate and try to cooperate.
Yes, absolutely.
We're all in this together.
Yes. I mean, our whole goal is to make sure people have enough to eat.
Yes.
And if we can stock pantries.
Yes.
We Friday, we ship 800 pounds of food to one pantry alone.
Wow.
So, but that set them up for the weekend because their food is disappearing off the shelves so
yes,
quickly.
So
several of them were
it.
Close to closing because they couldn't keep enough food.
Wow.
And this just happened to come at the right time. Perfect timing.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Yes, very much.
So tell me, Angela, you guys, what do you need? I mean, so the listeners have heard you talk. This sounds like something that we all should get involved with. So what do you guys need?
Well, you know, we can have volunteers do so many different things, and we want every single church in McKinney to feel that they are completely welcome to join us in this effort.
Yeah.
So you can come in and do gardening. You can work on the prep team. We have a fabulous chef, and if you like cooking, it's a great place to do a lot of learning.
Yes.
And, you know, we have a group called Sparkle and Shine, and they just keep the place clean.
Nice.
But, you know, we have people that write grants. We have people that are in our events. For example, if you want to, we have a golf tournament coming up on October 14th. And so if anybody wants to work the golf tournament or be a part of that. So we have, you know, we have different events throughout the year.
And
that
that's
people
like fundraising events.
They're fundraising events because, you know, in addition to volunteers, like every nonprofit, we always need funding.
Need the money, yes.
You know, our grocery prices have gone up too. We have
yes.
to buy sometimes 40 to 50% of our food. And
okay.
so we've just watched it go up every single month. Food costs, like everybody else is experiencing, has gone up. Utilities have gone up. Insurance, everything has gone up. So it takes a lot of money to have an operation like this be successful.
Yeah. So people can donate.
People can donate online. It's very easy.
Or they can participate in one of your fundraisers.
Exactly. Yeah. There's just, if they go on our website, which is communitygardenkitchen.org, they can see probably, I think there's 12 or 13 different areas where you can volunteer. Now we have, you know, I said 12 years old is a starting point, but I have a lady that had been working in our kitchen and she's 85 years old. She just retired, but she just loves it. You know,
yeah.
There is such a wonderful spirit of people that are volunteering there and they've become very fast friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have an intake group that takes in that food that's brought to us and they have to count it, weigh it and sort it, stock it, send it out to the different pantries. So the intake team is one group and then the prep team comes in and starts cooking and then the servers come in and
like you said, 180 volunteers a week.
Right.
That's a lot.
We're serving over 1,000 people a week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's great. I'm so glad you came and shared.
I'm so thankful for the opportunity to tell
yes.
your congregation about what we're doing and invite them to be a part of this.
Yes. I think this would be a really good place. And like you said, you could bring your teenager and come serve mm-hmm. or your middle schooler if they're over 12 and do it with them. It could be a family mm-hmm. thing.
Everybody has to go online and register to volunteer online.
Yeah.
The adults do have to have a background check. If you're over 18, everyone has
yeah.
to have a background check.
For safety.
Yes. Yeah.
Important.
Yeah. And because we're working with children all over the place.
Yes.
And there's the safety of all of our
of
volunteers.
Course. Yeah. No, that's pretty standard, I think. So, yes. So communitygardenkitchen.org mm-hmm. is where you would go. All these opportunities are online. And I really hope people will take advantage of that and go check it out. So Angela, thank you so much for coming. I hope you'll come back.
I would love to come back. This was delightful. Thank you, Lisa.
All right. And thank you, everybody. And if you don't mind, Angela, we like to close the podcast in prayer. So please. I would love to pray for you and your organization.
I would appreciate it.
Oh, Father God, thank you for Angela, Lord. I love that you put this on her heart. And then you enabled her to do it. And you brought others around her, a community to build this amazing organization, Lord. So thank you for the way you take care of your people through your people. So Lord, we know how difficult it must be for people who don't have enough food. And so Lord, I pray that if this is something you would want us to respond to, that you would move us to donate, to volunteer, to love on people who are your image bearers and who need to know how much they are loved by their creator. So Lord, I thank you again for Angela and her entire team and all her volunteers. And I pray that you will continue to bless this ministry. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. And we will see you back next week.